Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
To go. 6:11
in America.
Have no place to go.
Well, at least in Chicago, darling, in the Midwest.
No
7:11 if you're living in New York. 5:11 in Denver and 4:11 in L.A.
Honolulu?
Yes, that's a tough one, is it? 5 hours? Close enough.
It's a tricky one. Dallas, Texas.
I'm so tired of talking about Trump. We're going to do the entire show, just do time zones around the world. Welcome to the program. This is show number 943. For the first time in my life that I remember, okay. I mean, obviously, there was a point when I was really little. Uh-huh. I didn't watch a single pitch of the All-Star game. Not a pitch.
Really?
Not a moment. Turns out it was a pretty good game.
It was a good game.
With good pitching, it didn't end till the 10th, huh?
And some interesting use of miking up players, and there were a few new wrinkles from a TV standpoint used by Fox.
Trying to find a way to add the bells and whistles.
Well, they were. And, for instance, Bryce Harper in right field wearing a microphone, talking to Joe Buck during a half inning while he's in the field. It was kind of cool. At first, I was like a little intrusive, but then again, why not?
Yeah,
give it a try.
Game.
Yeah.
I believe that's called foxing it up.
Yes, it
you
was.
Know, when Fox does any sort of a cast now, they certainly tried it with golf, mm-hmm. with the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
They'll do those things, and some of them work, some of them don't. Robinson Crusoe, the great explorer, of course, won the game in the 10th.
Actually, that's Robinson Cano.
Oh.
But you were close.
I was going to say, I didn't know that Robinson Crusoe could even hit. So I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yes.
Is he still with the Mariners?
Mariners.
Yeah. He signed like a 10-year gazillion-dollar deal and disappeared.
And he's almost 35 years old.
Yeah, well, who isn't? At 6:13, we'll cover all things you need to hear this morning. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And in just a few minutes... we have an update on a guy that was on a show a couple of times last year. This has nothing to do with politics. Got a lot of politics later. Bill Hillman is a Chicago guy who was gored by a bull at the running of the Bulls 2 years ago, maybe three now. And he was on the show a couple of times, including from his hospital bed in Pamplona as he was recovering from the bull goring,
mm-hmm.
the goring of.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Hillman went back to Pamplona, and the bull got him again.
The same bull?
It could be. We don't know. We're running tests now.
Wouldn't that suck if it's the same bull?
I mean,
and he's like got a vendetta against
well,
him?
Well, this is how we're going to find out.
Is that
you
like...
remember the bull called in?
Yes.
Yeah. The bull that gored Bill Hillman called the show.
And the bull was quite apologetic, remember?
The bull was very emotional.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear from that bull this morning to see if there's a confessional on the second bull attack. Was there a second bull behind the grassy knoll?
Don't they have to check Pamplona? The DNA of the bull?
I don't know how they do that. Is that a horn recovery? I don't know how they actually do that.
As someone who owns a piece of bull, maybe mm-hmm. you should ask Orion. Because remember, he gave you a bull gift.
That's right. That's
you know
right.
What I mean?
I have a bull penis walking stick.
Yes.
Lacquered in my office. Actually, I haven't seen it in a long time. Did somebody steal it?
Don't look at me. I didn't take it.
Oh, so you say. but at 6:15, we'll do this. Let's do traffic, and we'll come back and get your top six at 6 in just a second. It's our morning sick check, our morning illness update, our morning is she infectious now? How are you feeling?
I think I'm feeling all right. I'm hoping I'm sounding better. I feel just fine.
Did you see her in the newsroom?
She looked great.
She looks fabulous.
She always looks great.
Well, thank you.
I think she sounds sexy.
I think you sound worse today than you did yesterday.
What? No way.
Yeah,
give me a chance.
Oh, no. You're not getting kicked off the show.
Okay.
I love having you on.
Okay.
But I do think you sound sicker than you sounded yesterday.
But I feel better and better each day, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm doing that mom thing, right, where you take care of the world and you don't take care of you. Are you doing that thing?
No. You know, I've learned to put number one first, because if I don't put on my oxygen mask first, then nobody's getting anything.
Is that an actual, is it an analogy for life, or you actually have an oxygen mask that you carry around? Because I'm thinking maybe you need it today.
You know, it is an analogy, and if it's no better by tomorrow, I will bring an oxygen mask. But Pete McMurray will be on tomorrow. You won't be here.
I won't be here tomorrow or Friday. Exactly.
You can infect him, Susan.
Okay.
but I'm not leaving because of you. This was previously planned.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
Top 6 at 6. If you're a new listener, thank you for it. This is where every morning we give you 6 things that are going to be discussed today in your world, in our world. Let's start here. Chicagoans are going to pay more for a metered spot than in other major cities in the country. That's a continuing problem. Almost 10 years after the deal to privatize parking meters, parking for 2 hours into downtown area. How much? 2 hours downtown. This is prime downtown, loop, midtown. How much?
It's
2 hours. How much? I'm not talking a garage now. I'm talking about the pay box.
$8.
$8 is too low. Next.
I'm looking at it.
Oh, you're looking
so
at the number.
I don't want
to
give it away. Yeah.
Susan Berkus, how much?
$15.
$15 is too high. Steve Grzanich, how much?
$10.
$13 is the correct answer. $13 is the rate for 2 hours.
It's unbelievable. It already is.
Do you have your car sitting on the road?
It already is.
My car's already on the road. Why do I have to give you $13? I'm just pulling over.
It's crazy. It already is 10 in some spots in the loop for 2 hours.
Well,
for sure. Yeah.
Oh, easily.
Enjoy the profits while it lasts, because the driverless cars and autonomous cars are going to take all that money away someday.
You're not going to live long enough to see that.
Yeah, it's going to happen in our lifetime.
Spot hero.
next. Paris will host the 2024 Summer Olympics. L.A. will host the 2028 Summer Olympics. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, in Rio, the city that took the games from Chicago, Rio is begging the IOC for a financial bailout after Rio now finds itself somewhere in the neighborhood of, what's the number I saw yesterday? Was it $300 million?
It's a lot of debt.
They have a tremendous amount of debt in a very poor country, in a city that is racked with debt. And the IOC said, yeah, no, we already paid a lot. We're out.
Yeah. Any city,
Athens, Greece.
Athens. Oh my
God! Still
gosh.
Trying to recover. Part of the Greek financial meltdown, directly related to having the Olympics.
I think the last Olympics that made a profit was Sydney, and that was in 2000. But every Olympics
since
then.
Did London lose money?
I don't know. London did pretty well.
I think they did okay.
Did London do okay?
Yeah.
But every other major city who's hosted the Olympics has always lost a ton of money.
Yeah, in retrospect, it's really a good thing we didn't get the Olympics.
And they always say, like, Athens, they built a new airport, they built new roads. I mean, they literally reconstructed the city around the Olympics.
Yeah, because the IOC insists on it.
Yeah, and they're still, as you just said, reeling. Greek economy is terrible.
And it speaks volume that no one wants to host these. Nobody's bidding, wants to bid to host these anymore.
Well, Mike Jacobson was just talking about that. Why does anybody want it?
No one.
Yeah.
But this L.A.-Paris thing, they actually haven't decided which one is going which year.
Oh, is that right?
And they're the IOC is letting Los Angeles and Paris work it out amongst themselves. Which one of you wants to go first? And they're going to let them try to reach an agreement. And if they can't reach an agreement, I don't see any reason why L.A. and Paris wouldn't be able to come to terms on that.
No, it's not like they have their own interests.
Of course not.
Yeah,
The IOC will vote which one has to host in 2024 and which one goes in 2024.
The IOC doesn't want to get involved with this because they're meeting with a Russian lawyer.
Yeah.
Meeting with a woman that they can't talk about right now.
They should have each city official compete in some sort of game, like archery or whatever it would be.
Oh, yeah, like
or like the luge.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
That's winner.
Yeah, I like that. How about this? A game more conditional with the IOC. Late night payouts in paper bags.
Oh,
where IOC officials who have a vote get a bag of cash and you have to try to get it to them without being caught.
Ah, the good old days.
By the way, you were right, 35 to 40 million.
Real debt.
Yep.
Crazy. Well, I think I said 300 million. That was a tad high. But anyway, they need the money. Hey, would you like a health care plan? Well, we can't get that for you right now. The Republicans who control the House and the Senate and the White House continue to fight amongst themselves and eat their own. Mitch McConnell. Ah, don't we love Mitch here on the Steve Cochran Show? Condescending creep that he is. The senator delayed the Senate's August recess to keep the Senate Republicans around for as long as possible. Here's the basic political calculation here. This is the summer break. This is when senators would go home to see their kids and grandkids and family and spend some time with their constituents in a longer form than they would during the regular breaks they get during the year. It's not like they're killing themselves in Washington. You keep them around long enough now, the pressure comes up from where? Constituents? No, from home. You've got wives and husbands and sons and daughters and grandkids going, "Why? What can't come home? Why do you have to be in D.C.? And you're not necessarily going to fly the entire family into D.C., and eventually maybe your no turns into a yes vote because you want to go home, because you're in trouble at home. This is absolutely part of the political calculation, as Mitch McConnell keeps people around to try to get folks from a no to a yes on Trump Care, the Affordable Care Act, a revised measure to replace it, and they want to vote on it next week. Don't count on that happening, though, with all the Trump news going on. They may try to slip it under the wire. Speaking of that, Christopher Wray, President Trump's pick to replace James Comey at the FBI, is set to appear this morning before the Judiciary Committee for his confirmation hearing. Unless there's something else missing, and why wouldn't there be at this point? And we believe that Mr. Wray will be confirmed. And, of course, that takes us to the law and Donald Trump Jr. You want to grab the headline you just showed me from the Sun-Times?
Oh, yeah. This is great, isn't it?
Sun-Times. By the way, you can buy... I'm not sure what's more expensive right now, a copy of the Sun-Times or to actually buy the Sun-Times company.
Boy, that's
But having said that, there's still some creative writing going on, including a picture of Jr. on the front. Remember what Jr. said in the emails that he himself released? He said, "If you have what you say you have, I love it," especially later this summer. And the headline reads?
The headline reads, it's a picture of Donald Jr. with his Make America Great Again jacket, but he's standing over the Kremlin. And it says, "From Russia, with love."
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That's a great headline.
Much more to say about this with Pat Brady. Bill Brady will be in later as well, Senator Bill Brady, to talk about the state's business as we continue. Kermit the Frog's getting a new voice. I don't like this. This is not a good thing.
Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly. Steve Whitmire has left his role at the Muppets studio, says the longtime Muppets performer Matt Vogel will take over. Vogel has voiced Big Bird, Robin the Frog. I don't know who Robin the Frog is.
I don't either.
And the Count.
I love the Count.
The Count's good. But here's the thing. I mean, if you remember when Fred Flintstone, the original Fred Flintstone, died, or when the original Barney Rubble died, I mean, it was like, what am I watching? That's not Fred and Barney. They're imposters.
It was an outrage.
Weren't they eaten by dinosaurs? Isn't that how they...
Actually, Joe Rocket had them both wiped out because he had a threesome going with Wilma and Betty.
Oh, weird. It's like when they replaced Darren on Bewitched.
I don't make stuff up. You know that about me. Wow. And I believe, does that cover it? I think that covered it. Oh, one other thing. This just handed to me. Even though any day with hair is a good hair day as far as I'm concerned, today's a bad hair day for you and your team.
Oh, my God. It's awful.
Hot and humid, more rain, and hot hair. 93 degrees, the expected high. Heat index over 100 today. And severe thunderstorms, a good bet this afternoon.
Let me just say, you can have Jennifer Aniston's $6,000 stylist come in, and there's no way he could fix your hair today.
Mine's not a problem.
Yours is.
I shouldn't say that, though, because the little fuzzies on top of my head, they are just frizzier and fuzzier than ever.
And you talk about these storms. We're getting rainfall totals in from last night. 5.45 inches in Gurnee. 5.3 in Lake Villa, 5.1 in Libertyville.
Yeah, the north side got blasted.
It was a lot of rain.
I'm up there, and we just, it poured.
It wasn't much south or west, but north, you guys got
it
enough.
Poured
it got
all
clobbered.
Night.
I know the trailer was rocking, my mobile home in East St. Louis.
By the way, they had to have there were several houses that were underwater in Fox Lake, so they were having to rescue the people.
Wow.
With their boats, obviously.
Everybody
from
okay?
Their homes. Yeah, everything seems to be okay.
But the damage, obviously, is significant.
Yeah, and power's out up there, too.
American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men, bring you the top six at six. Six caller now, get themselves a desktop weather station. That way you'll know the next time that one of these storms is coming, and you can tell your friends. Thank you again, American Weathermakers, and we're back after this.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Did any advisor or anybody in the Trump campaign have any contact with the Russians who are trying to meddle in the election?
Well, of course not.
I did not have communications with the Russians.
Are there any ties between Mr. Trump, you or your campaign, and Putin and his regime?
No, there are not. It's absurd. And there's no basis to it.
Every time Russia's brought up, they say, "Oh, Trump."
What do I have to do with it?
Well, we only have about a half dozen confirmed cases of Russia and Trump and lies. And, of course, the biggest one now is Donald Trump Jr. Let's run through some sound from yesterday and then talk about it for a second. Oh, and by the way, would you remind me? I have to talk to my son, Ross. Ross Cochran. You remember from Ross Cochran?
I do remember
show.
Ross, yeah.
Apparently, he's been meeting with Steve Harvey.
Oh.
He told me he wasn't meeting with Steve Harvey, and it turns out he is meeting with Steve
Is he going to release his emails today, Ross?
He said, I don't work for you anymore, Pops. I said, oh, okay. I forgot about that part. Sarah Huckabee Sanders yesterday during the ridiculous press briefings. This is so much more fun when it was a Spicy Spicerman show. But Sarah Huckabee Sanders, in another one of these, we'll give you the audio after we do the closed door briefing. And then we'll give you the audio after we determine whether or not we have to edit any of it out in their continuing effort at transparency. Here's Sarah Huckabee Sanders reading the president's statement. First words he had to say on little Donnie Jr. after Donniegate broke 4 days ago. This from yesterday's briefing.
I have a quick statement that I'll read from the president. My son is a high quality person, and I applaud his transparency. And beyond that, I'm going to have to refer everything on this matter to John Jr.'s counsel and outside counsel, and won't have anything else to add beyond that today.
Yeah, by the way, he added immediately this morning. He immediately got on Twitter this morning and started tweeting up a storm after Donnie Jr. was on Fox last night, on Hannity in particular. And boy, what a dangerous place for him to go. Why would Hannity protect him in any way? Trump Jr. on Hannity says, well, maybe, but I'm not going to say I'm sorry.
In retrospect, I probably would have done things a little differently. Again, this is before the Russia mania. This is before they were building it up in the press. For me, this was opposition research. They had something, you know, maybe concrete evidence to all the stories I'd been hearing about, but they were probably underreported for, you know, years, not just during the campaign. So I think I wanted to hear it out, but really it went nowhere, and it was apparent that that wasn't what the meeting was actually about.
I'm sorry, who created Russiamania?
The Russiamania, you're exactly right. It's a very important point for people to remember. Don't get upside down in the bizarro world that the Trump people try to create here. Russiamania was created by the fact that all of you people are lying about meeting with Russia. Otherwise, there's no story.
Right.
There's no story. It's like Trump this morning, the president of the United States this morning, after last night, engaging in a back and forth with people who are going after Trump on Twitter. He then took time as the president of the United States to respond individually to tweets. Good to know he's got that kind of time. This morning, the president started ripping anonymous sources again. Anonymous sources says the biggest witch hunt ever. Mr. President, the source isn't anonymous. The source is your son.
Right.
Your son is the story. Your son's emails are the story.
Apparently, he hasn't read the emails yet, maybe.
He's not unnamed. His name is Donald Trump Jr. Here's more from Hannity.
The whole contact took how long? How long was the meeting?
Oh, 20 minutes or so.
About 20 minutes. And Jared left after 5 or 10?
Yes.
Like she said, and Paul Manafort was on his...
On his phone.
The whole time?
Pretty much. Listen, like I said, it became pretty apparent that this was not what we were in there talking about.
A lot of people are going to want to know this about your father.
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell your father anything about this?
No. It was such a nothing. There was nothing to tell. I mean, I wouldn't have even remembered it until you start scouring through the stuff. It was literally just a wasted 20 minutes, which was a shame.
The amazing thing about this is he doesn't understand or he doesn't care what he's involved in. The law specifically states that a campaign cannot contact a foreign entity, a foreign government, not enemy, not allied, could be London. You can't contact a foreign entity with the idea of gaining a campaign contribution or a campaign solicitation. Mm-hmm. It's very broadly written law. Anything that you would benefit from. So if you take a meeting with emails written in your words that you release, we're way past collusion. Didn't it happen here? He wrote the emails. He colluded with Russians. He took the meeting. And by the way, you can't claim you're stupid. Clearly you are, but you can't claim you're stupid because Paul Manafort was there, who has been in the campaign business for 30 to 35 years. Yeah. He knows campaign laws. He knows you can't do this. They didn't contact anybody. They went, they had their little secret private meeting. And the idea that they didn't know what it was about is insane as well. And you sit down with a woman, she wouldn't give up the information they wanted because they couldn't promise that the adoption piece and the sanctions piece would go Russia's way.
Right. And if it was no big deal, how about months ago, disclose this? Why wait till now? If it was no big deal, oh, because he forgot about it. That's
and
right.
Trey Gowdy, who is as right gets politically, Trey Gowdy yesterday went off on a rant. We got to play that at some point later, too. Where he said, from the time you watched Dr. Zhivago to the last glass of vodka you had with a Russian, tell us every meeting you had because this drip, drip, drip is killing us. And he's right because every day there's something new. It's just outrageous. Meanwhile, let's go back to a very important piece of the timeline here. And that's President Trump just days after the initial solicitation for the meeting and the meeting that turned out to be nothing. Keep in mind now, the crime is the meeting. I don't know how far this goes criminally. I don't even know if it goes down the criminal path. But the problem here is taking the meeting. Not that nothing came out of the meeting.
Right.
The fact that you went, sat down, and tried to get information from a foreign country. That's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
A Russian spy, Kremlin-connected attorney. That's who she is. And by the way, this also verifies and backs up everything the intelligence community said. Remember the ones that were making it up as well?
Yeah.
Here is the president of the United States to be when he was campaigning last summer.
I am going to give a major speech on probably Monday of next week. And we're going to be discussing all of the things that have taken place with the Clintons. I think you're going to find it very informative. And very, very interesting. I wonder if the press will want to attend. Who knows?
Remember, Donnie Jr. has the meeting,
mm-hmm.
claims nothing came out of it, claims he didn't tell Dad anything. And then the speech from Trump comes right after that saying, I'm going to have all this information on Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And by the way, days after that, WikiLeaks comes out with their big dump of in their hack into the DNC and Podesta.
Of emails,
yeah,
by the way.
And shortly after that, or shortly before that, something called DC Leaks is opened, a Twitter account which we now know was set up by the Russian government. There's another way to leak this information
out. I find it incredible that he didn't tell his father he was going to meet with the Russian contact.
Of course he did. Of course he did. It's ridiculous. And then finally, we have Tim Kaine, the former vice presidential nominee, getting out a little over his skis here. Roll it.
We're now beyond obstruction of justice in terms of what's being investigated. This is moving into perjury, false statements, and even into potentially treason.
I respect his enthusiasm. Let's not go crazy here.
No, but it could be shades of treason if you're meeting, if you broke all the rules that you just said, you stated. Yeah.
We don't know. And for this goes to what Pat Brady has said forever, and he's right. If everything's outrageous, nothing can be outrageous. So you got to be careful. You got to stop screaming about treason, kick them out now, arrest them all now. I believe as this thing continues to roll, much like Watergate, people are going to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, if your own son is eventually indicted, do you pardon him before you go to jail?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, that was raised yesterday as well.
How about that?
Pardon him, of course.
Mm. It's a hot mess, kids, and I wish it was getting cooler, but it's not. The United States government, or at least what we used to recognize as the same, we're keeping an eye on it. I wish we didn't have to talk about it. I truly do. People think I enjoy this. I wish we didn't have to talk about it. But this is what's happening, and this is what's happening to our government in front of you, and you have to care about it enough to know what's going on. So at the bare minimum, I don't care what level of Trump support you offer, at the bare minimum, and by the way, if you voted for him, I have no axe to grind with you, none whatsoever. You made your choice just the same way I made mine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you voted for him, it's not your fault that he's lied. It's not your fault that his family's lied. It's not your fault that everyone around him has lied. It's their fault.
Yeah.
And you need to expect better from the people you elect. It's time for a traffic update. Susan Berkus is here. And we'll come back and not talk politics next on 720 WGN. Susan. At 6:58, you remember Bill Hillman? Bill Hillman is the guy that got gored by the bull.
Yeah.
And Bill apparently is getting medical treatment in Pamplona for another goring. I believe this is his third.
Yeah, and he said he might go back. If he's able to walk, he's going to go back.
And do it again.
Yeah.
We have on the phone the bull that gored him originally. I don't, was it 2 years ago? Well, let me ask the bull. Good morning, Mr. Bull.
I want to live in America. Burkers and press in America. Hello. Buenos dias, my friend.
Mr. Bull, are you in Pamplona?
I'm in Pamplona now. Yes.
All right. It was nice of you to join us again. I remember when you talked to us. Was it 3 years ago, 2 years ago? I forget now.
No, it was 3 years ago that I gored the bill.
All right. You gored the bill. And we hooked you up. We hooked you up on the phone with Bill, who was still in his hospital bed. And we had you talk to Bill. And you were very emotional. You apologized for goring him.
Well, Bill is a nice guy. I myself did not run this year. He is famous. He is famous in Spain. We call him El Santo.
What does that mean?
The holy. That means the holy one.
Santo. On several different levels. And do you know?
Go ahead.
No, do you know who gored him? Was it one of your friends?
It was my friend Sentido. He's about 1,200 to 1,250 pounds. He lost a little weight before the run.
Okay.
But I did not run this year because I was up in the booth.
I'm sorry, you're where?
I was up in the booth.
The booth.
He was up
the
in
booth.
A
the booth.
Oh, he's in the booth, like doing the call?
Yeah.
The
like
booth. The... I do the caller now for ESPN 23.
like the Dave Ennett of the...
ESPN.
I do. I cover the bull fights. Sometimes I do running with the bulls, and I also fill in for hockey.
Which network?
ESPN 23.
Yeah. I don't know why that surprised any of us. Well, congratulations on your sports casting.
Yeah, I also have a podcast, No Bull for the Bull. It's on Saturday.
All right. Well, that's good, too. Will you make an effort to contact Bill and see if he's okay?
I already did. I went to the hospital because I was there up in the booth when I saw him get hit. And I went to the hospital, and I brought him flowers in a sneaker bar. And I say, Bill, I'm so sorry you got hit again, but do me a favor. And I put my little hoof in his hand, and I said, you need to stop.
Stop, Gore. Stop
you
running.
You don't need to come here anymore. What a stupid old.
Stop. Go home, Bill. Go home and stay. Go to
Go
Chicago
home,
and stay there.
Bill.
I can tell the
go write book.
The bull is getting a little emotional again.
He is very emotional. Well, listen, we want to check back in with you. We're very short on time here, but we want to check back in with you, and we're just so glad you're okay.
Oh, no, I'm doing good. I have two homes now. I have one in Madrid in the summer, and then winter. I'm also in Madrid about a block away.
Okay, fine. And again, he's on ESPN 23. That's ESPN 23.
And filling in on hockey?
And filling
I didn't even know they carried hockey.
Can you picture when he takes his tiny hoof, or in this case his giant hoof, mm-hmm. and puts it in Bill's hand and tells him, don't be in a stupido? No. Mm.
Can you imagine him checking into the hospital and buying flowers in a Snicker bar?
Well, apparently he's very, very well known in Pamplona.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Cigarette smoking has dramatically declined in this country. You know, 42% of adults smoked in the 1960s. And then we started imposing heavy taxes at the federal level, at the state level, at the local level on cigarettes. We limited the places people could smoke, and we ran a public education campaign against smoking. And now 15% of adults smoke. Well, sweetened beverages are terrible for you, too. We had good public health reasons for doing this, and we needed the revenue. That's why we proceeded with it.
Sugar, and Chia Delight. Hurt you something. That's a Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle deciding what you need. And what you need is less sugary beverages and more tax. This is where the Democrats shoot themselves in the foot constantly, telling people how to live their lives. If you're a grown-up, you have every right to ruin your life. It's part of being an American. But at any rate, Cook County wants more of your money. And we can get into this more when Senator Bill Brady's here. Pat Brady's here now. It's a big Brady bunch this morning. And Pat is from what company?
Next Generation Strategies.
What do you guys do? You mostly a front for money laundering, or what are you doing over there?
Yeah, we laundered all the Trump money. That's why I've been defending him lately.
Not true. Let's actually turn this around and talk more local when Pat or when Bill gets here. The latest from the Trump world. There's no good way to spin this. There's no good way to turn this. There's no excuse to be made. And yet they're trying. Now, the president this morning is tweeting that Don's a good person. Well, maybe he is. I don't know. But the fact is, he took a stupid meeting with two other stupid people, and now you have to pay the price for it. And all of this, this is not C told you so. This is why all this fake news nonsense is not just dangerous. It was a flat-out lie. When the New York Times, when the Washington Post, when the Chicago Tribune, when all of us were talking about this, and you and I before that, last fall going into this, getting screamed at, fake news, fake news, fake news, all of this is proving to be true. Now, there may not be some vast network of collusion, but there's no question there was collusion. In Donald Trump Jr.'s own words, in his own emails released by him, there's no way to get around this.
No, and that was the kind of question out there, even I was saying, we have been saying the last couple of weeks, either prove up the collusion or quit talking about it. And this email, unfortunately for him, proves at least at some level there's collusion. But we have to get off the collusion word, because it's not collusion. That's not a criminal violation. It's conspiracy.
Well, let me ask you about that, because you're the prosecutor. Okay, so there is a law, a statute that I've read 15 times since yesterday that says a campaign that meets with a foreign government in search of or in receipt of a gift, contribution of any kind, not just cash, but information, is violating federal campaign laws. Is that the major issue here?
I don't think it is. I think that that's an issue, but I think it's almost a stretch to say that that's a campaign contribution. I think where there are real problems, you have 18371, Title 18371, which is a conspiracy to defraud the United States. And a conspiracy can be a conspiracy to do a lot of things, defraud the United States, commit bank fraud, false statements. There's a lot of things here beyond just the campaign. I never really thought the campaign in-kind contribution angle was the strongest angle. It potentially lied on the forms regarding the meetings. So I think there are a lot of other areas of federal criminal law where there could be exposure. And the tying back to firing Comey, obstruction of justice.
Do you think there's any way he took a meeting not knowing who he was meeting with? And do you think there's any way that he didn't tell his father that he was meeting with Russia?
Well, I think his father got most of his information on Russia from watching Bullwinkle and Rocky. So I'm not sure if it made a lot of difference.
Moose and squirrels say.
And Natasha and Boris. So who knows? But to me, it's not even that. It's the line of misstatements about it and the other four or five areas of federal criminal law that they may have exposure. I'm not saying that he's going to get clipped on interview, but a conspiracy can be an agreement to do one thing, and all the prongs of that conspiracy can be different. And the conspirators don't even have to know what the other ones are doing. It's just they've all agreed to commit a particular crime. And that's the way this is shaping up. And we're a long way from there. But the way this is shaping up is just one big fat conspiracy.
I just think your father's running for president. You're clearly helping him heading.
And you're running
campaign
on how close your family is.
Exactly. And to say, oh, well, I didn't know what the meeting was about.
Who goes to a meeting and doesn't know who they're meeting?
Well, everybody that is subject to these investigations is going to come up with some story or try to spin it. But the reality is,
come up with a better story. This is the thing that stuns me. They lie every day, and they really suck at lying. It seems like if you continue to lift weights, you're going to get stronger. They don't get any better at the skill.
Well, when you also put this, he put this email out before anybody had talked. He authenticated the email himself. You can't say this email's fake news. You can't say email this. He put it out himself, so it came from his computer, and he's authenticating that this actually happened. Had they waited, he could have said, "Well, you know what? People doctor with emails all the time. You question the authenticity of it. Plus, why do it anyway?" I'm sure his lawyer is going, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, well, supposedly the Washington Post was ready to hit send, and they
but call
said,
your
we're
lawyer. Don't send.
But yeah, don't hit send. Call your lawyer and react, because from a prosecutor's standpoint, a chair you sat in for a long time, this is Christmas morning for you. You just saved me tons of time.
Sure, and let the Post put it out, and then attack the Post or attack the source of the email or attack
the words.
Right,
because it's 35% of the country that apparently believes those attacks.
Right, but from a defense standpoint, so when you're talking about not thinking things through, I think Yesterday was a great example of that.
We got a local in a second with Senator Bill Brady, who has come in with a tin cup to help Illinois, and I appreciate that. You know, somebody's doing the right thing. It's the Brady Bunch. Senator Bill Brady and Pat Brady are both here, both from the class of 1979. Where?
Central Catholic High School in Bloomington.
Did you like Pat when you were in school, Senator?
I have to confess, we are good friends. We have been good friends. Yeah. Our parents were friends, and it's been a good relationship.
It's a good small Brady community.
It is. There were four Bradys in our high school class of about 100.
Yeah.
So that's one Brady per 25 if you go on a per capita basis.
And I, of those four, I was at the bottom of the class rank of those four.
High five.
Yeah, well, you know.
You can speak for all of us, Pat.
You have stepped into the, and I say this with nothing but compliments in mind, the big shoes of Christine Redonio, yeah, who stepped aside because of her frustrations a week ago.
You know, I don't know, it was a frustration. She was committed and dedicated, but she had some other interests. Chris's family
but the
was
timing
important
of
to her.
She was clearly frustrated to go out when she went out at the time.
Frankly, I will tell you, I think she made a commitment to her family. She'd leave a lot earlier.
Right.
And stayed.
So she was in overtime.
She didn't leave because she was frustrated, I'll put it that way.
Okay. Well, we'll disagree. I'm happy for her is my point.
I am too.
Yeah, because she deserves to go out and have some fun and see her family and do all the things she wants to do. In the meantime, you've taken on a job that's not easy. And where does it go from here?
Well, hopefully upward. I represent a great caucus. I've got 21 additional members who are very forward-thinking about where Illinois needs to be. Unfortunately, we're in the minority. But we're there to work with the Democrat majority and the governor and the House Republicans to finish the job that the General Assembly needs to do, and move on to the next year. So I'm very, very honored to be able to represent what I think is a diverse but yet very, very focused group of people who know that reducing the tax burden, reducing property taxes, creating a reform so businesses can create jobs, funding education, and governmental reforms are paramount to moving this state forward.
Oh, you're saying that, Senator, and I think everybody's happy that we do have a balanced budget, but people are seeing and hearing tax increase, the highest in state history. People are angry and frustrated. Just the everyday people walking down the street, we are being socked now, all of us. We're all taxpaying
residents. That's not a solution. Mandatory car washes. You have to get your car washed exactly. Every 4 minutes for the rest of the
but,
time
I mean,
you live in
these
Illinois.
Are permanent tax hikes. People are, I think, pretty outraged that we are just being slapped with taxes.
Yeah. We're all outraged, and this is a Democratic plan that unfortunately happened. But let me just say this. We aren't convinced that this is a balanced budget, okay? The Democrats we knew in negotiations that I was intimately involved in had trouble with making the proper cuts at this tax rate. The saddest thing is, given the fact we're controlled in the General Assembly, supermajority Democrats in the Senate, majority Democrats in the House, if you concede they were going to get a tax increase, the sad thing is we didn't get the reforms. We still don't have an education funding plan. We don't have reforms that will create and bring jobs to Illinois. We don't have property tax relief.
Right.
The state that has the highest property tax burden.
This was a Kim Jong-un gift.
Yes.
This was nothing in return. You get nothing but
political.
Negative.
You're not talking about taxpayer.
You get nothing but negative.
Political.
Yeah, here's what you got. You got
no
a tax
relief.
Increase.
It's not even, in 4 years, these are permanent tax hikes. So, you know, it's like you don't really get a chance to recover from this.
Well, I am sure that my caucus will support a repeal of this. And we will continue to move in that direction. We don't think that the people of Illinois should bear the burden of a permanent 4.95% tax hike. We also, though, believe firmly that we've got to rein in local spending and have to have property tax relief for the taxpayers.
Explain local spending? Yeah, you say rein in local spending. It sounds like you're putting it on the townships.
Well, it's not just townships. It's all forms of government that have continued to rely on property taxpayers, creating a system that has the highest property tax burden of any state in the nation. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to freeze the extension, which would have, in effect, really controlled increases for 4 years. I estimated it would have created about $2.1 billion in permanent relief. But what it would have done is it would have forced local governments to do what we've asked for also in our plan, which was to have a spending cap, which would have forced state government and local governments to live within existing means, which is what taxpayers are crying for.
But that's what I'm wondering about, because I don't know the answer to this. I'm asking, townships overspending? Are townships doing things they shouldn't be doing? Well, communities around the state?
First of all, Townships are a different.
Well, don't get caught up in the word. My point is these communities that we're talking about who depend on property tax funding, that's the revenue stream they've used to pay the bills. So they've gotten
used to
a way of spending.
Schools mostly.
Yeah, but they've gotten used to a certain way of spending. Right. So if we're saying you're getting this much less now, how are they going to get that money?
I think it helps them at the negotiating table when it comes to contracts to live within our means.
Okay. All right, now here's the flip side of this, and if you can hang for a second, I want you to answer this when we come back. By the way, the only reason I'm putting this all on you because you're here.
And glad to be here.
Cullerton's welcome anytime as well. We've invited him before. We'd invite him again. But my question going forward is, and you and I have talked about this off the air, is people go, okay, I'm going to give more money to the people who have misspent the money. If my 16-year-old kid goes out and throws money away, I'm not going to give him a raise in his allowance. Why do you guys deserve to get more money to spend? Or are you just trying to fix the problem that's already there? Because I don't believe we can live in the past. I believe we've got to live going forward. So hold that thought. Hold that thought. Okay. This is a broadcast tease.
I was just going to agree with you.
No, don't agree with me until you come back. At 7:31, we'll take a quick break, come back with a big story, and then more with Senator Bill Brady on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pat Brady's here. Senator Bill Brady is here. And we're trying to get extra Bradys. If you're in the neighborhood, your name's Brady, stop by. It's a big Brady day. Pat, jump in on this as well. But, Senator, before the break, we were talking about this. And you know, you get this question as well. So we finally get a budget agreement. And the state throws up in its mouth a little bit because it's nothing more than a tax increase. Thank you, Mike Madigan. And in the process, the people of the state go, why would we give you more money? You guys can't spend it. You spend it wrong all the time. You're like teenagers in high school when mom and dad are out for the weekend. What do you say to make people believe that you're going to head this sucker in the right direction?
Well, first of all, I didn't support this. This wasn't a budget agreement. This was party lines, and I know there.
It's Mike Madigan's tax increase. Let's not make any mistake about that.
There's no question about it. What I say is, you can balance this budget and you can cut spending. We laid on the table nearly $8 billion in reforms and spending that would have helped us systemically deal with the spending problem. The appetite, though, of the Democrats is, you know what, we need to spend the taxpayers' money. And so I understand their motivation, but I don't understand why they want to continue to hurt this state in that way and its people. So we're going to continue to fight for reductions in spending. The governor has been an advocate of reining in overburdensome taxes on families and businesses. He knows that that's destructive. My caucus talks about it all the time. So we're going to continue to do that. We just have to get a bigger voice, and frankly, that means winning more seats for Republicans.
Yeah, and if you believe that the spending problem, and of course it goes to both parties, if you think you got a Republican that's overspending, then you better go ask them as well. But if you really want change, you can't sit on the sidelines and watch. You got to get involved in the process.
And clearly, Bill, you said it well, there's a difference between Republicans and Democrats when it comes to governing the state. But the big thing coming up here the next couple of weeks is going to be the school funding formula. And I guess the question a lot of people have, are we going to bail out the city of Chicago?
You know, that's a great question, and this is not anti-Chicago public schools. The governor, my caucus, cares deeply about the educational product and what we provide the school children in Chicago. That's important to the state. But what it is about is equity, as you said, and mismanagement on their part. They deserve a fair share of funding, and we need adequate funding, which is why we work so hard on an evidence-based model. Our caucus, under the leadership of Jason Berrickman and others, have worked diligently with Democrats. But the continuation of an unfair and unequitable Chicago block grant that no other school district...
It's like $250 million, right?
Yeah, $250 million.
How does New York State do it? Do we know? How does New York State do it with upstate versus Manhattan?
Well, you're from New York.
Well, I don't know.
You could enlighten us.
I don't know. No, I really can't. I can't enlighten you. That's why I'm turning to you. Or for that matter.
The point is that to be made is the city cries poor in unfairness when the city gets a lot of taxpayer dollars from outside the city to support their public schools and they aren't willing to institute
reforms. Well,
what is reforms.
Fair? What is fair? What Do is, we know what fair
what
is?
I think fair is closer to everyone getting an equal amount of state funding. There can be variance, which is in the evidence-based model, based on property tax support that you have. And that's what came up. But Chicago continues to want. And I will tell you this. We have agreed, even though years ago Chicago said we don't want to have be part of the state pension, we've agreed on pension parity. In other words, if the state of Illinois is paying for normal costs for teachers, pension for everywhere, Chicago should get it. We've said, yes, that's parity. That's fairness. But the block grant is not fairness. And frankly, those are some things. But we are very close. Let me say this. We are very close to what I think could be a reasonable agreement that opens the schools on time and provides adequate funding and evidence-based funding. I'm hopeful that we can come to an agreement. I know
you
the governor wants that.
Senator Cullerton's on the same page?
I think...
How do you get along with him?
I get along fine with President Cullerton, and I get along fine with the speaker. We have very...
Wait, you've spoken to the speaker?
Yes. Yes.
He doesn't talk to Steve.
I didn't even know he existed. I thought it was some Lord of the Rings phantom, because I haven't seen him, ever.
Well, you should go to the Illinois Policy Institute.
No, he should come here. Yes, he should come here. He should talk to his constituents is what should happen.
We have partisan political differences, okay?
Sure, of course.
And there's no question that Mayor Emanuel and Speaker Madigan and President Cullerton would like to retain that $250 million block grant. Okay, I understand that. I understand that. It's not fair, and we're going to fight for fairness. But I think everyone wants to see the schools open, and I'm trusting everyone does, and I'm hoping that we go into some negotiations to get a fair, evidence-based funding model.
Is there any way to do what you're talking about with the state not controlling the schools? If the city continues to control the schools, the city obviously has control over spending. Yeah. The city can ask for that number because you're not controlling the schools.
Well, you know, what our job as a state is to provide a fair, evidence-based model for funding. Control of the schools, you know, it's kind of interesting. When I first started in the legislature, we started with the Chicago Public School crisis. Mm-hmm. And we gave control of the board. We took it actually away from the people of Chicago and gave it to the mayor. Mm-hmm. Now we're back full circle. People of Chicago want control back of that board.
Did that pass in the last session?
I don't think so.
It did not pass.
I don't think so either. I think that's probably a better way to go. Everything cycles, right? So giving, but I always tend to side on the side of giving control back to the people who want to have control. So I think that's a good thing. But the state's job is to have an evidence, in my opinion, evidence-based, fair funding model. This governor and Republicans have fought for the only area we fought to increase funding, Steve, is in education. And twofold. The product of our school children is the most important key to our future. And secondly, the more resources we give to this from the state to education, the better control and reduction we can have in property taxes.
And it's rightfully the number one concern of families and parents. Having said that, and nobody loves kids more than I do. Just ask my kids and my little my granddaughter. We got to worry about now, too.
Right.
So when we talk about the future and making sure the schools are right, absolutely. We've got to make sure the schools are right going forward. But what are we going to do about now? So when you talk about these cuts and the cuts that have to continue to be made, where are they coming from?
Well, there are areas where we have some fraud, some waste. Medicaid.
Like the speaker's salary?
Medicaid has been one of the fastest growing areas of state spending that we need to rein in, and I believe we can do that. Unfortunately, this budget didn't deal with Medicaid spending. There are areas, and really, you know, the governor has tried to negotiate a fairer contract with state employees that would be, as far as I know, what the governor.
What do you mean,
offered,
like a 40-hour work week?
Yeah, but as far as I know, what the governor has offered in the contract, there would be still lines of people wanting to go work for the state. So it's not about a drastic maneuver. It's about fairness and bringing this. So there are several areas where we can reduce government spending. We know that. We compare ourselves to other states. But I will say this. All of those things, the most important of all things is to grow our economy. This city is the only large city in the nation that's lost people.
Yeah, there's people leaving the state all the time.
We have to retain and grow people. We will not solve this state's problems without the growth model that we need. We need people working and paying taxes.
Of course.
And enjoying
it breaks
what
my
the
heart
state has to operate.
Because I love this city and I love this state. And my kids grew up here. And this is home. I have no interest in leaving. I don't want to work somewhere else. I don't want to live somewhere else.
Maybe travel now and then, but stay here.
Yeah, but come home because home is here. But it can't. The general feeling, and take this and run with this, you know, as you go back to Springfield. And I'm not speaking just for the people in the room. I really believe this is the feeling for the people in Illinois. The general feeling is Springfield has no idea what it's doing. Springfield has made it 10 times harder than it needs to be. I know it's not as easy as I run my house. Why can't you run yours? I know there's divergent opinions, but you guys all seem to, and I say you guys collectively, it's not picking on you. You guys all seem to be bashing your heads against each other and what gets solved. And by the way, Madigan's tax increase is not a solve, folks. It's not a solve at all. This is a Band-Aid that's barely staying on.
I don't even think it's a Band-Aid. It's an infection. I mean, it's a problem.
Right.
We can't continue to take money out of the private sector for government sector and grow.
But just know that. Know that when you go back to Springfield, the majority of people walking by this studio listening right now, and there's hundreds of thousands of them, are going, why can't you guys get your act together?
Well, I'm hopeful we can. I'm not new to the scene, but new to my position, and I'm very fortunate that my caucus has elected me to be their leader. I'm looking.
Are you seeing interest in running by Republicans? You hearing from young Republicans who want to get in?
Oh yeah, particularly with this last Democratic maneuver of raising taxes permanently. So people are fired up. They're invigorated. They want change, and they're fed up.
Well, I just want you to know I appreciate your time, and you're always welcome here, and you're one of my favorite Bradys.
Well, not your favorite?
Yeah. Well, it depends on the
day. Have you ever heard of Eric and Kathy?
Oh, my God.
Pat's working on a new show called Eric and Brady.
Nice. Oh, my God.
There may be an opening. Good luck with the Redonio slot that is now yours, my friend. And I like what I think I'm seeing from Senator Cullerton to try to work with the Republicans. Because what you don't want is the Mitch McConnell face. Or standing up in Washington talking about working with Democrats like he's got to go in for root canal with no anesthesia. Figure it out. If Reagan and Tip O'Neill could do it, and they did, you could do it in 2017.
And you said there is a chance for repeal. I mean, this is, I know it's permanent, but
permanent till it's not.
Nothing's permanent in the state of Illinois.
And all right, good.
My goal would be to provide the relief that people deserve, and that we said no to permanent, and we're going to continue to fight to repeal it.
You know, if we actually grew the economy and had people coming here and had more taxpayers, we wouldn't need more taxes. I think Senator Brady makes a great point. It's the difference between Republican and Democrats. We believe in economic growth. We don't believe necessarily you have to tax. You can't tax your way out of this.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, we don't have time to get to this, but there is a big story in the Tribune about the governor's race being, as they call it, a big old testosterone fest.
Heidi Stephens, great story.
Yeah. Is there not a top flight female on either side that could run?
Sure there is.
Okay. Well, sure I'm just saying that's something else to consider.
Maybe they've got better things to do, but this isn't a gender-specific profession.
All right. Well, I got to meet with some Russian lawyers, so I got to go.
Just make sure they're not tied to the government.
Not at the state level, anyway.
Thank you, Senator Bill Brady. And obviously easy to find. Let him know how you feel about what's happening and ask him for what you need. 756. And by the way, tell him what you're doing in your own community to take part in the responsibility of being a citizen of the state. 756. Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than when I should. Yeah.
Sponsored by Ravinia's CSO series. And Dean, at the end of this report, Dean Richards joins us live from Channel 9.
Good morning.
At the end of this report, we're going to sing the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald in honor of the storms in the area.
Oh, it's bad.
It's wacky, huh?
It's bad. It's dark outside. It's wet.
Let me tell you how serious this weather has been. We are going to Paul Conrad for weather information.
Wow.
Huh? Right?
That's heavy duty.
So,
he's
all right.
Working overtime today, Paul.
He gets stressed out and tense when he has to remember all the weather stuff.
We are storm-to-storm coverage. We've got Nancy Liu out in standing out in a puddle, out in a flood, really.
Yeah, flood, really. Significant puddle.
Yeah, she's got some kind of, like, fancy boots on. I'm always very interested in, you know, when reporters have to cover stuff like this. Some go out and, you know, they just find dry land.
Yeah.
Others go out with the hip waders. They're all the way up.
Well, I couldn't help but notice that Dan Ponce was standing on the sidelines and couldn't get wet, while Nancy Liu was knee-deep.
Knee-deep. Well, she was prepared. She had, and I got to say, some really styling boots.
Yeah.
Like really pretty.
If you're going to be in a devastating flood, get hip boots.
Floral, but like a little, pretty little red dress at the same time.
You're talking about Ponce now.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Don't tell his father.
Here's the list. We'll tell you the highest paid country star. Pat Brady's here. You like country music, don't you?
Love country music.
What's your favorite country artist?
Which country?
USA. Mostly USA.
USA.
Luke Bryan, I like, you know, whatever the kids got going. My kids love country music.
Okay. Neil Patrick Harris in a weird celebrity fight. Got some Big Bang Theory news. Shia LaBeouf is in the news again because he is. All that coming up.
Some excellent / disturbing sound. I told you got arrested the other day.
Right.
They released the body cam video yesterday. So you can hear some pretty crazy stuff in there.
We'll see what we can hear when we play it. And I've received word now that my son Ross has left the meeting with Steve Harvey, and he's now meeting with Big John and Ray.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Eric and.
Yeah, he couldn't find a Russian lawyer, but he's getting all over town. So we're keeping an eye on him.
But at least he's letting you know.
Yeah.
You know,
he's calling in.
I'm waiting for him to release the emails about.
Yes.
He released the emails. Big John said he had damaging information on me.
I love it.
Ross said, I'd love to see that.
I love it.
And again, the whole point is Ross knows the meeting he's going into and he's telling you about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, he's a good kid. Traitor.
This is golden. Oh, wait, that's Blagojevich. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, but you think Blagojevich is sitting in prison going, and that guy's president? And I'm in jail?
I'm in jail. How'd this happen?
More Dean in a second. Traffic and plenty of it. What is happening now?
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
It's a big day for Dean and me. And for Skilling, too, and for Paul Conrad. You know what this is, Dean? Do you know what today is?
The National Toupee Day?
No, it's Bald Guy Revenge Day.
Oh.
Because while the rest of the hair-inflicted people are suffering from frizziness and high humidity.
Right. Wet hair.
And wet hair and bad hair days, you and I just walk around and we glisten.
Yep. I walk around with a squeegee on a day like this.
I thought you guys were glowing.
Yeah, I'm glistening. I'm more glistening than glowing. Dean may be glowing. I don't know. I can't see him from here.
I am glowing.
Dean is live at Channel 9. Let's run through some of the show business. And Pat Brady, as a political expert, feel free to chime in on any of this.
Thank you. I will.
Okay. Deadpool. Deadpool likes Wonder Woman?
Deadpool likes Wonder Woman. Ryan Reynolds sent a tweet to the movie Wonder Woman because Wonder Woman eclipsed it in box office sales this week. Wonder Woman now has become the 10th highest grossing superhero film of all time, $369 million. So Ryan Reynolds, instead of being mad about it, he tweets out, the Merc may be filthier, but her BO is stronger, box office. Congratulations.
He's a funny dude.
He is funny. He's a great guy. Congratulations, Wonder Woman, he says, box office boss. And then the director of Wonder Woman, Patty Jenkins, tweeted back to Ryan, you are absolutely the greatest, Ryan Reynolds. Thank you. We love you and your movie, too.
Well, look at Hollywood getting along. Why can't politics, Pat, be more like Hollywood and get along?
I agree. Hey, is there any way I'm getting bored with politics. Could I be a celebrity? I'd like to be a superhero. Like an old one.
But what would your power be?
Being old. Gray hair.
So people would watch you get older?
Yeah, that's why I stayed on to ask Dean this, because I really want to be a celebrity.
I'd be some kind of superhero that, you know, weeds out political corruption. You know,
It's called the U.S. Attorney.
That's right. He's already one.
Fights the Ruskies, like that kind of thing would be great.
Well, this is weird. I just received word that Ross is meeting with Dick Biondi. I don't know what's happening there. Big Bang star. What's the news here?
Melissa Rauch.
I love her.
Love Melissa Rauch. She plays
little tiny Melissa Rauch.
Tiny little voice. Plays Bernadette on Big Bang Theory. She and her husband wrote an essay for Glamour magazine, because who wouldn't? But it's happy news and it's sad news. They announced that they are expecting a baby, which is
happy.
Great. But also explained that previously had suffered a miscarriage and they're very terrified that it may happen again.
Understandable. A lot of people can identify with that.
Right. Melissa writing that it was one of the most profound sorrows of her life. She became depressed and said they are sharing the story so others who may be struggling with infertility also know that they're not alone. Which is really nice. And she's due in the fall. So nothing but the best wishes for them.
Yeah, all but 5 feet of her.
She is a tiny little thing.
Arguably.
Beautiful girl, too. And by the way.
One of the funniest.
Rocking body.
Yeah. One of the funniest parts of
that packed into that 5 feet.
Okay.
Andrea, don't interrupt.
Yeah, I was going to say, sorry.
When I'm being a dirty old man, don't interrupt. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Back in for a minute.
Go ahead. No, it's all you. What did she have packed in there?
I don't know. It wasn't me. It was someone evil that overtook me at that point. What were you saying about Melissa Rush?
I think she's one of the funniest parts of
the show.
Oh, yeah,
that too.
Mayim Bialik.
Yeah, they're both good.
Mayim Bialik's hilarious.
Yeah.
But will always be TV's Blossom to me. Mm-hmm. I can't let that go. I love that. I love TV's Blossom.
You're literally, there's 7 billion people on the planet. You're the only one today that said, she'll always be TV's Blossom to me.
Damn right I am.
You like the show?
Nothing to do. All my stories have been cut today because of storm coverage. So
this is a big moment.
I have way too much time on my hands this morning.
Stranger Things coming back to TV?
Yeah, they announced that it will be coming back to television on October 27th. The season will pick up on Halloween a year after the season one finale. And a sinister entity, Steve, will be threatening the whole town of Hawkins, Indiana.
Yeah. Listen, I'm on pins and needles.
I say as if I've even seen one episode of that
show. I haven't
show.
Either. But I know it's a hot show.
I know people love those little kids.
It's a hot show. Highest paid country music stars.
What'd you think?
Slim Whitman. It's got to be near the top.
Not Slim Whitman. Not Slim Jim either.
How about Boxcar Willie?
What are you, like, stuck in 1962?
No, Ernest Tubbs. Is Ernest Tubbs still dead?
Not Ernest Tubbs.
I'm walking the floor over you.
Garth Brooks, who just, retired and is still on his comeback tour right now. He has topped the list of the highest paid country music artists, according to Forbes magazine, so you know it's correct. Took in $60 million. Based on money from concerts, record sales, outside business interests, and endorsement deals.
What about the gals from Cornfield County? Are they on the list at all?
None of the girls from Petticoat Junction up in the water tower. They're not in it either.
Seems weird.
Kenny Chesney comes in second. Luke Bryan after that. Here's one you know from
Pavarotti?
Dolly Parton.
Well, I love Dolly.
Oh, you love Dolly Parton?
Yeah, she's great.
Do you love her more than Melissa Rauch?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know Melissa Rush. I know Dolly Parton a little bit. She was always a delight.
Do they still have Dolly World?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She made $37
million. You should
see
the roller coaster through those mountains. It's unbelievable.
Space. You want to talk about Space Mountain?
Crazy. Crazy.
Toby Keith and Florida Georgia Line tied at number 5.
All right. There you go. That's your highest paying Boxcar Willie, Slim Whitman, not there. What's this fight Neil Patrick Harris is having?
Doogie's in a fight. It's sort of James Woods.
Boy, is he a jerk.
Started it. He posted.
He's just a jerk, isn't he?
A family.
But your official opinion is he's a jerk.
He's a jerk. I'm not avoiding the question. Definitely a jerky. A family at the Orange County Pride Parade in Southern California over the weekend posted a picture of themselves. The two parents and their son with the sign that read, "I love my gender creative son," and another sign that said, "My son wears dresses and makeup, get over it." And it's a very nice family picture. James Woods retweets the picture with the statement, "This is sweet. Wait until this poor kid grows up and realizes what you've done and stuffs you both dismembered into a freezer in the garage."
So, I mean, seriously, what's wrong with him?
Then Neil Patrick, you could stop the story there, and that would be plenty. Neil Patrick Harris saw the whole thing and tweeted back, "Utterly ignorant and classless, Mr. Woods. I'm friends with this family. You know not of what you speak. You should be ashamed of yourself."
And did he respond?
He did not respond.
This is why the internet and Twitter sucks. I mean, you can hurt people in an instant, just by being a jerk. Just shut up. Just stay out of it.
Why not just leave the family alone? They're not hurting anybody.
Yes. And whose business is it? James Woods got nothing better to do. Well, James Woods may have nothing better to do. he ought to be, you know, in the words of David Letterman, he ought to be shunned.
Ought to be shunned.
Well, that's a sad story.
Do you see the David Letterman? I don't have the details in front of me, so I probably stupidly shouldn't bring this up. But
oh, you're on the right segment to bring up something stupid.
Let me or no detail.
Talk about something with no... Right.
This is a factless, no detail segment.
I'll see if I can find something on this quickly. But David Letterman has been ripping Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, for years.
But the past few days, here is... Well, here's from Breitbart, mm-hmm. of all sources. Mm-hmm. Letterman says to Donald Trump, stop whining, and says to the American people, find a way to put him in a home. Find a way to remove him from office and put him in a home.
I don't think that's fair to the nursing home community. They don't need that kind of hassle. Letterman has attacked him. And separately, Letterman's beard's got a very active Twitter account. So check that out.
I heard it's
well.
Got its own zip code now.
It might as well. It's big enough.
And they just opened an Applebee's in the southern eastern portion of his beard.
Of his beard?
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah, nice drive through everything.
Let me go to Pat Brady on this. Pat, how do you think this segment's going?
I think it's going very well.
Okay, good.
Thanks for having me.
Fine, appreciate it. Shia LaBeouf.
This is inside Pat's head right now. How the hell do I get out of this studio? How can I get out of here? Maybe if I just tell him I'm going to get cigarettes and I don't come back.
No, I just tell him I'm going back over to Eric and Kathy. Dean, right. That's what we do.
Eric and who?
Yeah. Yeah, Eric and who. That's exactly right. That's the name of the show. Shia LaBeouf released a body cam video. Well, why is he wearing a body cam?
Yeah, well, he didn't actually release the body cam.
Oh, he didn't.
It was the Savannah, Georgia Police Department. They were the ones wearing the body cam.
Well, that makes sense.
When they arrested him on Saturday night for public drunkenness, for disorderly conduct, disturbing the peace.
And I believe what he says on the body cam is, officers, I'm sorry for the disturbance. How can I be of help?
Yeah, not so much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not so much, really. He went up to some people on the street, asked for a cigarette. They turned him down. He started throwing out profanities and vulgarities to these people. The police were called. And as anyone would do when the police show up, you continue throwing out profanities and vulgarities and charge the police officers as well. They arrested him, and that's – a lot of this you're not going to be able to hear, but you will definitely be able to hear a few super crazy things here from Shia LaBeouf.
I have rights. I'm an American. Come on, talk to me. You got me in my hotel, arrested me in my hotel for doing what, sir?
Let's go.
Yo, you really got these cuffs on me heavy, bro.
I'll fix your cuffs if you calm down.
This man is
arresting me. What are you talking about, bro? Relax.
I
don't even know his
bro.
Hey, bro.
That's why you're going to jail now.
Yeah,
relax, man. That's why you're going to jail now.
Hold on, bro. Put him in my car.
I came up to you trying to be nice, you stupid. They got cameras everywhere, you dummy. I got more millionaire lawyers than you know what
wow.
to do with, you stupid.
Wow. There's not enough bad things that can happen to him in jail.
Yeah, we advise clients to just react just like that.
I hope the exercise yard goes poorly. Wow. Is
I got enough millionaire lawyers.
Oh, is he?
That always works. They usually let you go right there.
Yeah, that's usually the point where the police go, oh, I didn't know you had millionaire lawyers. Let me take those cuffs off you right away.
And you listen to that. Cops deal with that kind of crap every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah, these guys are studies in
patience
and just staying focused on what they need to do. He posted $7,000 bond and got out. Spent the night in jail, but he was out Sunday morning.
There should have been a cop waiting outside to rearrest him and take him right back in. If you ever want to test it, the next time you feel like criticizing a cop, and certainly there's legitimate criticism in the world, but the next time you just blanket want to criticize a cop, have a billy club in your hand, and then have your best friend next to you. And then have your best friend call you names and insult you over and over again, and see if you hit him. Let's see how much patience you have.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. Shia LaBeouf.
Not an easy job.
By the way, when he got out, James Woods picked him up. He went back to their place. So, thanks, buddy. Talk to you later, Dean.
Oh, okay.
We're wrapping.
Sure which buddy you're talking
hey,
to.
Hey, Dean, we'll do this again, buddy.
All right. Pat and Dean segment tomorrow morning.
Good times.
Yeah. That's Dean. That's Pat. I'm Steve. That's Andrea. She'll do the big story next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:43, the Open Championship coming up. Third major of the season already. Schedule got turned a little upside down this year. And my friend Kurt Byram from the Golf Channel and NBC Sports was at the Irish Open. And this week he's at the Scottish Open. Next week he's at the British Open. What are you trying to get, citizenship over there, Kurt? What's your story?
It's going to be a nice 3-week run over here in the UK, Steve. It's been great so far. Ireland was Northern Ireland was great last week. We had good weather all but one day, and just really enjoying my time so far over here.
All right, now how much on tour and otherwise have you played over there?
A little bit. I didn't come over and compete in the Open, but I've been over to play a few times. I played, obviously, this trip. I've had a couple days here and there where I was able to play twice over in Northern Ireland. I played yesterday here at Prestwick.
Oh, nice.
So we're in the area where we were at last year for Troon, for the Open at Troon. So we're kind of in that same area this week.
What is the major difference for people that aren't necessarily golf fans but maybe connect to the majors? What's the major difference in golf there and golf here?
Well, Lynx Golf is usually you're right next to a body of water of some kind, usually the ocean. So you've got the sandy soil, fescue grass. The greens tend to be a little slower than American golf courses that we're used to playing. A lot of it's played along the ground, as they say. You know, you hit a lot of because the wind's usually blowing, you hit a lot of shots that run into the greens rather than flying everything into the middle of the green or at the flag stick. Sometimes you just can't get to it. So you have to bounce things in. You get quirky bounces. You've got these pot bunkers. The pot bunkers are usually that's the big thing off a tee. You know, the guys have to keep their drives out of those pot bunkers. Most of them are a penalty shot. You just basically take sand wedge and play out sideways or, you know, 70 yards down the fairway and go from there. So it's very different. The ball tends to run and roll in the fairway the long way. So you might only fly it 280 yards in the air, or these guys might, but they may get 40 yards of run. So it's a lot different than your typical courses back in the Midwest, let's say in Chicago.
Yeah, and as you watch the game on TV, you can see that it looks different, but you really have to be there to understand those differences as you describe them. What's the longest putt you ever made or saw in Europe? I don't mean made as in hold out, but decided my best option from here is a putter.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you go all the way back. I'm going to blank out on his name. But the Italian guy, remember at the Open Championship at, I want to say it was at St. Andrews. Remember, he was well off the green. He putted it down through the valley and up the hill. And
oh, that's right. That's right. When he tied Daly, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's been off tour for a long time, and I can't come up with his name right now.
And he pushed, am I right about this? Didn't he push Daly to a playoff and Daly won the Open that year?
It could have been that year. You know, it's been quite a while, so I there are just so many, and that's one of the beauties, really, of playing Lynx golf. And around the greens, they usually shave everything down. So if you're not in a pot bunker around the green, there are a lot of different options. You can still flop it high, like a lot of the American players like to play over, you know, at home. You can bump and run it into the hill with a 7 or 8 iron, or you could putt it. You could hybrid it up there off these tight lies. So I love that part of it, the creativity part of it that's required to play well.
And, but you could be 20 or 30 yards short of the green and hit a putter.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yesterday I had a shot over at Prestwick, and, you know, I was 20 yards short of the green, and I used a 7 iron just kind of bumped it over the top of a little mound into a hill, and it ran up onto the green. And it's fun because you kind of have to see it and get a feel for the shot, and then you try to pull it off what you saw in your mind's eye, what you visualize. And it's just it's way different than playing the majority of the courses over in the U.S.
Dave Ennett's research team just handed me this note. Constantino Rocca.
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
There you go.
Constantino Rocca.
I do remember him making it. There's been a lot of them, though, you know, through the years.
Yeah, and he did. He tied Daly, and then Daly eventually won in a playoff. Dave, say hi to Kurt.
Hey, Kurt.
Stenson made one last year. In the last round at Trinity, made a 50-footer on the back.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
Kurt, what's going on with Rory McIlroy?
You know, he's going through a bit of a tough patch right now, and most of it's due to, you know, he had that rib injury. Mm-hmm. I think he had a fractured rib. It felt like it was in his back, but it was actually a rib. That happened early this year. He didn't play much golf. Then he tried to play, and he re-injured it, and then he had to take more time, another month off. I think mainly, Steve, is just lack of playing time, lack of competitive rounds. He hasn't been able to get out and compete in enough tournaments. And, you know, we had him last week, obviously. His charity basically hosts the Irish Open. And so, we had a chance to talk to him last week, and that's what he was basically saying. He said, look, I just need to play more competitive rounds of golf and get those under my belt and start getting comfortable. And he feels like he's really close. He keeps talking about how close he is. I don't think the ball striking is an issue. He missed a lot of putts, makeable putts last week. But I was just reading through the notes from his interview from yesterday. And again, he's talking positively. He just feels like there are a couple little things. It's interesting, though. He said, I get wrapped up in the mechanics of my stroke.
Sure.
And I need to get out away from that and just start letting myself get out of my own way, basically, and just start seeing it and doing it.
See it, swing it, hit it.
Kurt, who's someone not, say, in the top five or top ten who you're going to be watching in this tournament?
For the British Open.
Yeah, the British.
Not a top 10 player?
Yeah, outside of the top 10.
Someone outside, someone who...
She's basically looking... She's trying to figure out who to wager on, Kurt.
I'm looking for the dark horse.
Are you talking here at the Scottish Open?
No, British. Let's go British. Let's go British Open, the Open Championship.
You know, there's a kid over here, the big Belgian kid, Thomas Peters, is an incredible talent. He hasn't played great lately, but we saw what he could do at the Ryder Cup last year at Hazeltine. And if that guy gets it going, I think he's got the mindset. He's cocky. He really wants to be in the spotlight and win big tournaments. I would say he's definitely a long shot, but he's got the game, that type of game, to do it.
Hey, good light it up.
I'm picking him.
You know, Ricky Fowler keeps knocking on the door, too, if you're talking about a guy. I mean, I know he doesn't win as much as some people would like, but it seems like every major championship he's sort of there. So he may be good at Birkdale as well. Who knows? I mean, boy, it's hard to pick winners when you have 156 players and you know, probably 90 of them could win the tournament. So really tough to pick out winners.
Well, you've said it over and over again through the years, and others have as well. Who's got the hot putter this week? Because the ball striking is pretty good all the way around. And live from the British Open next week, or you'll be on Golf Channel next week for the British Open in the Open Championship.
You got to tune in this week, Steve.
Scottish. Oh, you know me. I'm watching. Oh, please, I'm watching. You know that.
Scottish Open. Ricky Fowler, Rory McIlroy, and Henrik Stenson are playing together tomorrow, and we'll have them on our air tomorrow. We start at 10:30 in the morning, local over here, so get up early and check it out.
That's not early for me. I'm up. that's just get up. All right, buddy, be well. Congratulations on a fun run here, and we'll see you back here.
Okay. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
There you go, Kurt Byram. He had to run and do some TV, so I didn't want to get into his window for television.
I wasn't trying to get like a sneaky pick in.
Yeah, you were.
Yes.
And I salute you for that.
Maybe, but you also heard Kurt say, 156 players, it's very hard to pick who's going to win.
The kid that won the U.S. Open, watch him.
Brooks.
Yeah.
Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, Brooks
Koepka. Did you see he was at the All-Star game last night?
I did not.
And he posed for a picture. Joe Buck tweeted out a picture of Brooks Koepka in the booth with whoever he was at the game with. And Buck said he wanted to make sure we knew who he was at the game with last night. A reference to Buck's slip up.
Yeah, where Buck introduced his new girlfriend as his old girlfriend.
His old girlfriend.
He's not helping. Not helpful, Joe.
No.
We'll take a break for traffic here, get you an update on that. The clouds are rolling in downtown again. The radar is ugly.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
A little bit of Monica in my life, a little bit of Erica by my side, a little bit of Rita's all I need, a little bit of Tina's what I see, a little bit of Sandra.
What year? This is a prelude to the 90s game. Callers now if you want to play the 90s game. 312-981-7200 for fabulous prizes, including Blackhawks convention tickets. Dave.
The year of this song?
The year of this song.
1999.
How'd you know that?
You looked it up.
You
Googled it.
What?
How did you know that?
Did I look it up?
You didn't look anything up.
I didn't look anything up.
How did you know that?
It's your phone.
Because I knew it. I just knew it. Yeah, I just remembered.
Don't you have a sense after John DeCoste karaoke that Dave just has a concert in his car every day?
Yeah.
Like he's some closet music expert?
Yes,
I am.
You
can see that video at WGNradio.com of Dave singing.
If you're watching CLTV, they're running in and out of weather watches and warnings considering all the nonsense that's going on. I have a cousin of mine that's trying to make it in from New York. They're sitting on the runway on the tarmac in Rochester, New York, with a two-hour delay because of the weather here. So if you have people coming in, you're trying to leave, obviously check your flight schedules accordingly. Remember when you used to have to pick up the phone and call the airlines?
Mm-hmm.
Now you just Google up. You just Google up your flight number. It'll tell you what's happening.
With a rotary phone sometimes. I remember.
I lost my keys yesterday, Steve. I Googled, where are my keys? He said they're in your hand.
Yeah.
That's funny that you say that because Pat Brady just called and he said, hey, I left my wallet there. Can you keep it for me and I'll get it tomorrow? And then he said, oh, wait, it's in my pocket.
There you go. By the way, delays of an hour now at O'Hare and LaGuardia and JFK, 2 hours.
Yeah. So getting in and out of Chicago is delaying the rest of the country, but there's weather on the East Coast as well. All right, 912, explain how the 90s game works. You're going to ask us questions.
Mm-hmm. And the listeners are going to answer, and they can ask you guys for help.
That's right. Dave's ready to play, obviously.
Yeah.
Steve can chime in. Andrea knows more about the 90s than we do because she was paying more attention then because she was just a child.
Yeah, yes.
I had a life. I was busy. I was working. Uh-huh. But we're all here ready to help. Tim, Fred, and Maura. We start with Tim in New Lenox. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good, and you guys?
Nice to talk to you. All right, Tim, how do you know the 90s?
I was born in 58, so I was,
You're an adult. You were working. You had a family.
Yeah, I was
raising
out, yeah.
Kids, I'm guessing.
Actually, I believe Dave Bennett and myself and my wife and his wife, we all have the same anniversary tomorrow. It should be 32 years, I believe.
Yes, exactly. Happy anniversary.
You got married with Tim?
Thank you.
I didn't know that till just now, but
Karen.
I was
very
Karen. Confused. All right, let's go to the questionnaire.
Yes.
The leader of which country was assassinated in 1995? Israel, India, Serbia, South America.
This is not easy. Not easy. I think I know it as well.
I'm going to stay for help.
All right, Dave, what is the answer?
1995. Israel.
That's right.
Jeez, Dave. That's when you ask for help?
It is correct.
It is
correct. And that leader's name is?
That was Anwar Sadat, was it?
No, that's Egypt.
Menachem
Begin. Menachem Begin.
Nice. Yeah, Sadat was from Egypt.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We know, Tim. Stop yelling.
But I got the answer right for you, Tim.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stand by, Tim. We'll give you your prizes here in just a second. These Blackhawks convention tickets amongst the prizes that we are giving away. And those are tickets to the 10th. Is 10 years now? 10 years?
Can you believe that?
We were here for the first one.
Yes, we were.
10 years of the Chicago Blackhawks convention at the Hilton Chicago Hotel, July 21st to the 23rd. You think 9-year-olds who listen to this show are going, it's 10 years, dude, settle down. Big deal. I'll be 10 next year. See our live afternoon broadcast with Rokon on the 21st and 22nd, brought to you by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland. I also have these tickets to give away to the big annual EAA adventure at Oshkosh. I could roll those in as well. Don't try me. I will.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next question.
Oh, okay, next question.
Those are some cool tickets, by the way. I'd love to have those.
Well, they could take this. Oshkosh. I think it's a package of four, so maybe they'll take you, Steve.
Yeah, that's very fun.
Or, Steve, you could call in and pretend you're someone else.
Or I could just buy my own.
Okay, next question.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, okay, which listener? Which listener are we going to?
Oh, sorry. Let's go to Fred.
Fred.
Fred in Montgomery. Good morning, Fred. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Apparently, we've lost track, or Andrea's losing interest. She just keeps yelling out next question.
I do. I love this game.
All right. So here's your question. Remember, Fred, you can ask any of us or all of us for help. Here is Sandberg.
She was a rising music star whose 1995 death stunned the Latino community spawned a film starring Jennifer Lopez. Mm-hmm. How did 23-year-old Selena die?
That's quite a story.
Car accident, heart failure, murdered by her fan club president, or a plane crash?
I know, Fred, you sound, Fred from Montgomery, you sound like a guy that follows a lot of Latino superstars.
I remember seeing the movie, but I'm going to go to help from Andrea.
Yeah,
Andrea.
Thank you, Fred.
Okay, what happened?
It's a good call that he picked me.
Okay, we'll see.
She was shot by her fan club president.
Yeah, and by the way, do you think that her fan club president didn't understand the meaning of fan club? is that right? Yes, it is. Yeah. Fred, you're a big winner.
All right.
All right, man. Congratulations. Hold on. And let's go to Maura in Des Plaines. Maura, good God, Maura, are you underwater?
No, I'm not, thankfully.
It's not far north of you, though, right?
A little bit further north. They got it a lot worse than we did.
Yeah, I got lucky this time around because Des Plaines gets whacked
definitely.
All the time.
Tell me about it.
I'm looking at video around Lake Beach. It got hammered. You know, we talked about Mundelein earlier. It's just a mess. All right, anyway, let's go out to what's really important, Maura, and that's your needs. Let's win you something here. Sandberg, your question.
Who was dubbed the Long Island Lolita by the New York tabloids after shooting the wife of the man with whom she was having an affair?
Keep this in mind now. She's having the affair. She shows up to the wife's house. I don't know what happened there. She rings the doorbell, and the wife answers. You're already sleeping with her husband. The wife answers, and she shoots the wife.
Lorena Bobbitt, Mary Kay Letourneau.
Boy, you remember what Lorena Bobbitt did?
Amy Fisher.
Uh-huh.
Jennifer Flowers.
Boy, they're all just special ladies.
It was definitely Amy Fisher.
Amy Fisher, no help needed. Let's go. Judges say yes. Congratulations.
You know what? A bonus should be, what was the husband's name that she was sleeping with? Remember this guy?
Joey, my head stuck up my Buttafuoco.
Buttafuoco, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joey Buttafuoco.
But when you saw Joey Buttafuoco, didn't you think, yeah, that's my man?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a charmer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Congratulations, Maura, as well. We're gonna give you actually an opportunity to pick your prize off the air when you talk to Sandberg. This 90s game is catching on like hotcakes.
This is great.
Like what?
Hotcakes.
Is that like hotcakes?
I saw a Green Acres rerun last night.
Wait, why are we not playing anymore?
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll play another round.
We'll
play another round. So we need three more callers at 312-981-7200 for the next round of the 90s game. I mean, I could talk about Donald Trump Jr.
No, let's play the
90s world events.
Game.
Would you prefer to play the 90s game?
Yeah, it's happier.
Okay, play
it's
the fun. 90s game. Again, winners get a pair of tickets to the 10th Annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago Hotel, July 21st through the 23rd. Sponsored in part by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland, and or four admission tickets and a parking pass to the EAA Adventure in Oshkosh, July 24th through the 30th. Enjoy the world's greatest aviation celebration during daily afternoon air shows. Steve Brzezanich will be there in a disguise after he fraudulently wins the tickets on this show as a fake winner.
I might even be flying a plane.
Oh, that's excellent. Do you have a pilot's license?
Nope.
Okay. More than 2,500 planes on display, evening aviation programs, activities for kids, and more. Get tickets at eaa.org/airventure. Sandberg now negotiating with the winners to see which prize they choose. More of this to come. We'll play another round of the 90s game next. Three more callers. Welcome at 312-981-7200 after this on 720 WGN. Remember Planet Hollywood? Right down the street?
Sure.
Yeah.
I remember taking Amy to Planet Hollywood to see the Spice Girls in a private concert. They sang like two songs. Planet Hollywood was a good joint for a long time. What do? They overexpand or something? I forgot what happened. I think there's still one at Disney in Florida.
There's one in Vegas now. There's the Planet Hollywood. It's like a hotel, too.
I think those stars got too old. and they weren't all that much of an attraction anymore.
They had to get new stuff? Mm-hmm. New stuff, new stars?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a cool concept. The Spice Girls there. And what happened to all the Spice Girls? Well, we don't know. They're all missing except for Mel B.
Yeah.
Who is a guest judge or a regular judge on America's Got Talent situation.
Didn't Ginger Spice do porn too? Like she
I'm not
had
because sure. Victoria were her, married well. That's all
she
I
did.
Know.
Yeah, she married the soccer player.
Beckham.
DuPage, Cook County, Lake County, starting at 9:24 this morning and ending 30 minutes at 9:54. You will have a severe thunderstorm warning, which started 1 minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll keep an eye on that severe thunderstorm warning. Remember, a watch and a warning are different. A watch is, hey, anybody see anything? A warning is it's coming your way.
It's actually happening.
And yeah. It's actually happening right now.
Well, a minute and a half ago, Steve. These things are timed out impeccably.
Yeah, I know.
So. Did I just say enough already?
Because of all the rain you got last night?
Yeah. And it's still coming down.
Dave got so much rain last night, the animals that he collects two by two in his backyard, Noah, they all floated to another house.
They did.
Yeah. I told you, finish the arc. And you said, hey, I got the games to cover.
Oh. Yeah.
Watch the All-Star game. This is what happened. Your arc wasn't finished.
I know.
Remember, turn around. Don't drown. Don't don't drive into high water. I mean, it's
is that like give a hoot, don't pollute?
No, it is exactly like that.
No, it is smart. Yeah. It is smart. Turn around, don't drown. It's just I was wondering what the transition was from Noah's Ark to that
flooding.
There we go.
All right, so here we go back to the '90s game. Standing by, Lori, Susie, and Ryan. I will say that the seventh floor has not been chosen for help yet, and they're starting to feel left out.
Yeah.
So let's go to Lori first. And Lori, how do you claim to know the 90s? Are you a child of the 90s?
No, I was 30 in the 90s.
Yeah, so we're the same age. And
yeah, we are. Yeah.
What are you laughing about? We are. I turned 30 in 1991.
Everybody that's been 30 in the 90s.
Yeah, that's right in the middle of it. All right, so Lori, you'll get the question here. If you get it, great. But if you need help, just feel free to ask. And don't forget that Susan and Steve are up on the seventh floor and they're lonely. All right, so what's the question?
Lori, I'm going to give you this question, and then I'm going to award you the prize. This natural disaster, one of the deadliest in this century, killed at least 140,000 people in April of 1991. Earthquake in Iran, tropical cyclone in Bangladesh, Hurricane Andrew in Florida, flooding in Venezuela.
Give them that again.
This natural disaster, one of the deadliest in a century, killed at least 140,000 people in April 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Earthquake in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Tropical cyclone in Bangladesh.
Right.
Hurricane Andrew in Florida.
Right.
Flooding in Venezuela.
All right, Lori, I don't know if you've been watching the Weather Channel. How are you feeling?
Like I don't have any clue, but I'm thinking Bangladesh, but I'd like to ask for help.
All right, she feels Bangladesh. You asking everybody?
Yeah. Everybody.
All right, I'll poll then. Steve, is it Bangladesh?
Yes.
I think that's right as well. Susan, you going with Bangladesh?
Definitely.
Okay. You guys feel good about Bangladesh?
I would say Bangladesh,
sure.
Yep.
Bangladesh. Dave, your last album was titled Bangladesh.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
that? Is that the correct answer, judges?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Tropical cyclone of Bangladesh. Probably shouldn't sound so excited about something that killed 200,000 people.
140.
No, that's probably true.
But Lori, you're a big winner. What does Lori win?
Four admission tickets and parking pass to the EAA Air Adventure in Oshkosh,
nice.
Wisconsin on July 24th through the 30th. Enjoy the world's greatest aviation celebration, including daily afternoon air shows, more than 2,500 show planes, evening aviation programs, activities for kids and more. Get tickets at eaa.org/airventure. And Steve Grzanich is available to go with you.
Yeah, because he wants to. Hold on, Susie. I mean, Lori. Lori, hold on. Susie's actually next. All right, Susie, are you ready for a question?
I'm ready.
Fire away.
Chris Cross dominated the radio in 1992 with the hit rap song, Jump. What unusual fashion trend was the teenage rap duo known for?
Chris Cross, that was two guys.
Chris Cross will make you jump, jump.
Yeah, so what unusual fashion trend? What are our choices?
Clock necklaces.
Uh-huh.
Face piercings,
uh-huh.
backward clothing,
uh-huh.
rhinestone jeans.
Backward clothing. What?
I would say backward clothing.
I don't know where you got that idea. Is that correct? That's correct. Congratulations. What did Susie win?
Oh, wow.
Susie is getting a pair of tickets to Peter and the Starcatcher playing at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center through August 20th. Discover the origin story of Peter Pan and the Neverland. That you never knew. Get tickets today at metropolisarts.com.
All right, Lori, Susie, hold on, and let's go to Ryan.
All right, Ryan, you're the last 90s game player of the day. Are you ready for your question?
Sure, no pressure on that one.
No, far away.
True or false, Bill Clinton was the second U.S. president to be impeached.
Where'd you go to school, Ryan?
It's Brian, but no deal. I went to high school in Geneva.
Okay.
And I went to college, NIU. So I was in college during the 90s. So this is
Right, but you should. My point is your secondary education and your primary education should give you this answer if you were paying attention. Maybe they've been hitting on chicks. I'm not blaming you, Brian. But what do you think the correct answer is? True or false, Bill Clinton was the second president to be impeached?
I think that it's true.
That's exactly right. Do you know the name of the first?
Nixon?
Andrew Johnson followed Abraham Lincoln. Nixon resigned. He bailed before he could be impeached.
Before they could get the impeachment on.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Bail before you're impeached?
I would bail before it actually went through.
Brian, say hi to Ryan. You both have won what?
Oh, he has won a pair of tickets to the 10th Annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago Hotel on July 21st through the 23rd.
And
you
we
can
will.
See our afternoon broadcast there on the 21st and 22nd.
Sponsored part by Meijer?
Meijer.
Yeah. Now doing delivery. Lori, Susie, right? We had six winners. Nobody's lost yet.
Yeah. People in the
90s. Yeah, right.
That's right.
So I'm talking
about. Unless you give them the answer. Like some people.
Oh, please. I would never do that. It's 9:31. Andrea's coming back with a big story in a second. And then I've got a special guest in studio in a bit on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hello, son. I'm looking for Henry Ruhlenfurter.
Raffenbuser.
Rosenbagger.
Gartenhoser.
Ruhlengruder.
I never doubted him for a minute.
Hey, way to go, Runnemucker.
Ron Gardner, you're going in.
What'd he call me?
24 years ago, long before last October, the Cubs got a miracle. And he's sitting in studio with us right now, Thomas Ian Nichols and the Thomas Nicholas Band's coming to town. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. Thanks for having me on the show.
We were talking off the air about your five-year-old who hasn't seen Rookie of the Year, and you're going to show it to him soon?
Yeah, he's going to see it probably, hopefully, at the end of this month.
Does he get, movies? Does he get that, you're not animated. So as a five-year-old, can he make that tie?
Yeah, we showed him A Kid in King Arthur's Court when he was a bit younger. That one's a little bit more geared towards the younger kids. And I think when he was three, like Rookie of the Year, like flashed on the screen and he was like, Daddy. I was
How
did he recognize 12-year-old version of me?
Yeah, because, I got to say, the dude from Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda is stealing your look.
Oh.
You had this look before. Yeah, he just showed up a couple of years ago.
That's all right. That's I consider that a compliment.
Yeah, well, it is a compliment.
So when are you going to show your son American Pie? That's going to be a little
later.
In life.
Yeah, that's going to be a little later. He's going to have to watch that at his friend's house, or I'm going to show him the TBS version with all the bleeps and the edits out. It'll be about 4 minutes.
Yeah. And no pie.
And no
all
pie.
The cursing is somebody overdubbing Dadgummit. So,
like what they used to do in the airplanes when they used to show the movie to everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. Gary Busey was in the movie.
Yes.
What level of wackadoodle was he in 1993?
Who, Crazy Busey?
Yeah.
Huh?
Was he on the way to wacky at that point?
He had already had both those first motorcycle accidents and I think two plates in his head. So he was really nice to me.
I think he's a nice guy.
Yeah, no, he was really, really nice to me. He's the nicest to me on the set of Rookie of the Year that he was to anyone. He once carried me by my underwear 25 feet across 100 crew in front of 100 crew members. But he was the nicest to me.
Right. He was gentle.
Yes. The Eternal Wedgie. I'll never forget that.
The Eternal Wedgie was a band that Thomas and I were both in.
Uh-huh.
All right, tell me about the band.
Well, the band is a very inventive name, Thomas Nicholas Band.
Sure, yeah.
TNB.
Yeah.
And we've been touring around for about 10 years now. We got six albums. The newest album, even though we do a lot of originals, the newest album is called Frat Party. And it's all of our favorite cover songs from American Pie. So,
pretty good look.
We've been touring around the Chicago, and greater Illinois area for years. It's kind of our stomping ground. So we'll be back on a tour that takes us from Topeka, Kansas, through Waterloo, Iowa, and into Chicago August 11th through the 19th. And then I'll be back again for Wizard World.
Yeah, and I've got the dates for your original run there, August 15th and 16th at the HVAC Pub.
Yeah, HVAC, heating and cooling.
Yep,
yeah.
And August 17th, you're going to be at the Looney Bin at Bradley. Is that in Peoria or is that at Bradley, Illinois?
At Bradley, Illinois.
Where's Bradley, Illinois?
Bradley, Illinois.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm gonna ask Google.
It's Bourbon A.
Off of I-80. There you go. So you're kind of just making the I-80 trip back up.
August 17th, he could still have some drunken bears coming in at that point, couldn't he?
Yeah.
Berwyn.
And then Berwyn on the 18th and Orland Park on the 19th and September 8th.
Hey, you know what? We're going to be in Orland Park, I think, on the 18th, so we can go on the 19th and see the TNB.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When did you decide music was just as fun as acting and producing and directing?
I started playing music when I was like 14.
Okay.
You know, just something to keep me sane in between jobs, and then started recording, and you'll never hear the first three albums that I did, because they stink. But then I finally got good, and in 2008, I was proud of what I had created, so that's when I started touring. And
the guys in the band have been with you for a while?
It's sort of a revolving door of members. Okay. You know, as long as I stay in the band stays together.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the name, you know, we'd have to change the name if you leave.
Exactly. So, you know, that's sort of the gambit of it. And then I'm actually doing tonight an after party at HVAC where I'm not playing a live show. I'm just going to be pressing play on some rock music after we show Rookie of the Year. Yeah. At the new park at Wrigley. So it's a free screening of Rookie of the Year tonight.
How about that?
It's a great, great venue, too. Love HVAC. But you've done TV. You've been on everything from Who's the Boss to Grays to movies to rock and roll. I know it's like asking which of your kids you like best, but do you have a preference? Music, movies?
Which your kids? Which your kids do you like best?
Yeah. I'm always on to the next thing. So I've got a new film project that I'm shooting later this year called Handbook for Mortals. And so we've been doing the Wizard World tour because we're exclusively letting fans of Wizard World pre-order the book based upon the film. So the book comes out this summer.
Are you a fantasy gamer guy or what? I don't know this part of you.
Well, this is, fantasy film I haven't done since A Kid in King Arthur's Court, which was, you know, obviously starring along 007, James Bond himself, sure. Daniel Craig, and Kate Winslet.
Whatever happened to those two? Did they ever make anything of themselves?
You know, they're still trying.
Yeah,
they're still trying. Sure. Yeah.
Which, incidentally, tying it all back was 1995.
Yes.
Yeah.
The 90s, we were all very busy.
Exactly.
In the 90s. You're going to be at Wizard World August 24th through the 27th. The screening in Wrigley tonight. All right, let's go back now. You get the movie. How'd you find out you got the movie?
My agent called me on my landline.
Well, what was the audition?
The audition was me going in for the role.
Did you have to show you could look like you could pitch a baseball?
No. The audition was just like acting out a couple of the scenes. I didn't get a call back. I was switching agents at the time, and my new agent said, "Hey, I got this audition for you for Rookie of the Year." I said, "Oh, you know, I already went on it. I didn't get a call back." She goes, "Well, they obviously don't remember you, so go again." So, and they had been auditioning kids in LA and Chicago and New York. They had seen like 5,000 kids over the course of a few months. Daniel Stern was about to hire his own son, named Henry, to play the role. And then he met me, and then he was like,
"Well, what sent you the second time?"
I must have seemed vaguely familiar.
But that's the thing. There's no science to auditions. You know, the silly little bit parts I did in the 90s. A lot of it's how much they want to work with you, right? You sit down, and they go, "Well, he'll be fun. He'll hang around. He won't annoy us." In your case, I go, "I can pick him up by his underpants. He won't report us to anyone."
not till 2017.
I mean, you have to have some talent and ability, but also it's the chemistry in the room, isn't it?
It's all about the chemistry in the room, and I've been on both sides of the casting desk. You know, where I've obviously auditioned a lot more than I've been running casting sessions for films that I've produced. It's a vibe. I've definitely, and I'm not going to name any names, I have definitely hired the wrong actor based upon a good audition, and they get on set, I'm like, "Man, that was a mistake." And then I've definitely like hired someone that's been awesome that, we kind of were like, "Oh, their audition wasn't that good, but we don't have any other options. They're the best thing we got," and then they were awesome. Yeah. So,
all right, how many first pitches have you thrown out?
I'd say I can't do math that fast, Steve. 2008 till.
Oh, is this 10 then?
I guess it'll be 10 because I'm throwing it out on August 16th.
And because of who you are from Rookie of the Year, you can't bounce it in the dirt.
Oh yeah.
No, you gotta throw a strike. The only time it bounced on the plate was at the 20-year anniversary. I floated it, which about half the stadium laughed. because they got it.
But you got a few boos.
The other half booed, and then the half that laughed yelled at the half that booed. They're like, don't you get it? He floated it.
So you got anything new in your repertoire? You got maybe a hard slider you didn't have before or something? Because you and I were talking about our fastballs aren't what they used to be.
No. I mean, my fastball is what it always was without CGI. It's called the changeup. It's 46 miles an hour.
Nobody's going to hit that.
How psyched were you when the Cubs won the World Series? I mean, I know your beautiful wife is from
Chicago. Are you
kidding?
I flew out to Chicago and went to Game 4.
Did you?
To watch us
lose. Is that right?
But then, you know, we obviously pulled it around. I heard a rumor, actually, that Rizzo, you know, team captain, made it a rule when the Cubs were down after Game 4 that the Cubs could only watch Rookie of the Year in the locker room because obviously he wanted positive thinking. And in the movie, the Cubs win the World Series.
Right, yeah.
When I see him on August 16th, I'm going to ask him because I'm donating a signed Rowan Gartner jersey to his charity foundation,
which
is going to raise money for the Chicago, you know, Laurie's Children's Hospital.
That's very cool.
I do think that's true.
I think I heard that rumor, too.
Yeah, they were watching
it. I've heard the rumor. I want to, like, actually ask Rizzo himself.
Plus, this is no knock on Rizzo, but Ian watching Shakespeare. You know, this is a movie he'd love because
to be or not to be.
Yeah, no, I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying this is a movie that Rizzo would get. Get the Thomas Nicholas Band in your life. By the way, where do we buy it? iTunes everywhere.
Yeah, it's available everywhere. We're on Spotify, iTunes. You know, whatever your internet, you know, music choices, were there.
And we were going to play something for you, but Armageddon has hit downtown, so we got to do another weather update. So great to see you. Stay safe out there. This weather should clear out for you tonight, and stay in touch so we can do this some more.
Yeah, it sounds fun. Like I said, I'll see a bunch of people tonight at the Rookie of the Year screening. Be back again with my band, and then back again for Wizard World. So awesome. You can't get rid of me, Chicago.
All right, and website or social you want to plug?
Everything on my social is at Tin Band. And I'll be doing a Q&A I think 2 p.m. Central Time on Wizard World's Facebook page.
Right.
So, you know, if you don't want to just listen to me and you want to ask me questions, then you can. I'll be doing Facebook Live.
You're having a fun life. Yeah.
You know,
okay.
I'm not mad. Thanks for having me on the show, Steve.
9:54. More in a moment on 720 WGN.